I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
D1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the third time in four games, the Blue Jackets found themselves in a shootout. Montreal scored twice in the third to force overtime at 3-3 last night at Nationwide. Kent Johnson and Kirill Marchenko found the back of the net to send fans home happy with a 4-3 win. Jet Greaves had two saves in the shootout, 29 in the win. It'll be Elvis Merzlikins between the pipes tonight as the Blue Jackets begin a four-game road trip in Winnipeg against the Jets. You can hear it on The Fan Tuesday with coverage at 7:30. In college football, Virginia Tech has hired James Franklin to be the Hokies' next head coach. Old Miss has given Lane Kiffin an Egg Bowl ultimatum on his future plans in Oxford, while Ohio State's Ryan Day shifts his focus to Rutgers Saturday at noon. Hear from OSU's head coach today at noon. We'll carry Coach Day's presser right when he takes the podium. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Mark Levy's office at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP. That's 1-800-MORE-SLEEP, or visit him online at sleepbettercolumbus.com.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's go live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Ryan Day in about 30 minutes on an injury update from Roundtable last night. We hit you with the real truth coming up at 10 o'clock. Is it more likely that the Big Ten gets four or the SEC gets five? Uncle Dom going to drop by at 10:30, 11 o'clock. We will blitz the NFL at 11:30, a little bit of Shelley time. And I'm going to have a little story time with Jode because there was something that I became aware of last night on the national broadcast that I was unaware of previously. So we'll have a little Shelley time, story time coming up at 11:30. We are doing an old school show today. I'm not sure if either one of you have ever done a show without the social media network Twitter.
Nope.
Probably not, Reese, right? For you? Bake, have you?
I think we did one where Twitter was out for most of the show.
There have been outages, but yeah, I don't think it's ever been
for a little bit.
Yeah.
Zero dark, Bishop and Friends.
So when AR and I first started doing the show, this was got to be like, I don't know, maybe 2010, something like that. Twitter was in its infancy. And so the way that you, and even before that, when I did the off season with Bob and I did that show, the Twitter wasn't something that everybody had. It wasn't a news breaking mechanism. It's been a news breaking mechanism for the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, probably something like that. And today it's down. So the server's down. It's down. In the old days, what we would do, AR and I would have in the old studios in the Brewery District, we would have the three TVs on in the studio. One was on NFL Network. One was on ESPN and one was on probably ESPN News is probably what it was. And so that way, if something broke, we would see it then and we'd be aware of what was going on around the world, because otherwise you were kind of in your own little universe there, right? Well, since Twitter's been in effect, you don't need that because it's a live timeline of what's happening hourly, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. So while it's got a bunch of flaws to it, about a billion, it is the place for our purposes. To me, it's by far the most efficient when it comes to here's what's going on in the world right now. And it's where news breaks, right? I mean, I don't even know what the alternative would be. So it's down today. I guess the servers are down. There's the Blue Sky one. I signed up for it years ago, but I haven't been on it in about a year. I kind of just petered out on it. where else is there where breaking news breaks?
Threads was Zuckerberg's response to it. And I do think Schefter and a lot of those guys break news on Instagram. They just make, they have some, one of the top men at ESPN make a graphic, and then there they have the news. Like, you see a lot of those graphics with like breaking or suspended, or maybe on Sunday it was Ja'Marr Chase and spit.
Yeah.
Just have the giant word across the screen.
I don't use Instagram in that way. So that will, this is going to take a little bit of an adjustment on that type of things. In the way old days, and this dates me bigly, it was the AP wire. So you'd have a desktop at your desk when I was in television, and the AP wire would drop news that would come via the internet, and you'd see the news that way long before Twitter. So it's down. So we won't be able to have the interaction until it gets back up that we normally have. We still have the YouTube chat. We can get it there.
Bo, I don't know why when you said in the old days.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying going to say something like Morse code or carrier pigeon. Not I thought you old. Were I thought you were going joke there.
Pony Express.
That's just what I expected the next thing to come out of your mouth. Something about Morse code.
Yeah. In Montana, we had the Pony Express that would deliver the news, as it were. So it's down. And so we'll probably the easiest way to interact with us is on the YouTube chat. Well, if you have some thoughts on some of the things that are being discussed, we can do it there. We have some breaking news from yesterday. Virginia Tech is hiring James Franklin as its new head coach. This makes all the sense in the world. For about 200 million reasons. But the biggest reasons to me are he is a damn good program builder and maintainer. It's a region that he is already quite familiar with in terms of recruiting. He's basically going to recruit the exact same region that he recruited when he was at Penn State. They're not as nationally a brand as Penn State, but it's the same vicinity. He's going to recruit the DMV. He's going to recruit Eastern Pennsylvania. He's going to recruit the Carolinas. That's really where it's going to be. It seems like they're pretty locked in from a monetary standpoint in terms of the money they're going to put towards their roster. It's an easy landing spot. Remember, this is a guy who actively did not want to play Ohio State and Michigan. James Franklin was looking for the surest way to the playoff. He wasn't trying to build. I think at some point we broke him and he stopped trying to build an elite, a national championship program at Penn State. Obviously, they were all in this year and it went about as bad as can possibly be. He's not going to have to do that at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, man, win 10, win 9 in an ACC that's navigable. And from what I understand on the reporting on this, they gave him assurances that from a financial standpoint, they will be among the top of the ACC. So the top spenders in the ACC are Miami, SMU. I mean, those are at the top. So as long as they're in that vicinity, he's going to be just fine. And I did see something yesterday that was pretty interesting when the Twitter did exist, that in terms of decommitments after coaching change, Penn State had 17 decommits. That means kids were bought in to play for him. That's how I would translate that. I think LSU had one and Florida had none. So that means in those two instances, you're selling the program. At Penn State, they were selling James Franklin. And maybe that's a positive or negative, I don't know, but they were selling Franklin more than they were selling the program. I mean, I think he'll be more than fine there.
Yeah, he'd always been able to get talent.
Yeah.
You couldn't put it together.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they'd gone through a ton of coordinators. And this makes it, for him, still a great recruiter. Still, I think, a great program builder, to your point. Mm-hmm. And you can lose big games to teams in the AP top 10. And you'll still find your way to an ACC championship game. And that'll still likely have you in the hunt for a college football playoff. Especially if this thing expands.
Yeah.
His job gets exponentially easier if that's the case for Virginia Tech. And what, I saw that Penn State's only going to pay him $8, $9 million. So
yeah.
What, Vatek's going to give him four years, $8 million, 5 years, you know, or 4 years, $10 million, 5 years, $8 million. Like, very easy for them and for him. All parties involved win, I think.
I agree.
I think we all kind of thought that James Franklin was going to be fine wherever he landed. Mm-hmm. Now, if your expectations, if your program is national championship or bust, you may be in trouble with James Franklin, because that's the thing. He hasn't been able to get over that top five, top 10 hump, really, especially in a long time. But I think we all agreed like he was going to be fine. Mm-hmm. I really worry about Penn State, and I understand why they made the move. I get what happened. I get the optics. I understand all of it. I really wonder if Penn State, in hindsight, is going to regret this time in their program.
I was talking to a buddy of mine who's an alumnus over there, and he was saying that what he's hearing is they already know who they're hiring, and they just have to wait to make the hire, but that they're very confident in who they have. To your point, Bake, they better be. They better be, because you miss on one. And I think this is why I think it was so difficult for them to move off of Franklin, because if you miss on one, you can be Nebraska in a hurry. And Penn State's got more to sell than Nebraska, but it's a very unique job. Ironically, Virginia Tech is pretty similar. Blacksburg's an outpost too. It's tough to get to. And so there's a lot of similarities between the two jobs. I'm not saying that they're similar. I think Penn State's a top 10 job in the country, top 12, but it's a very specific person to recruit there. It's a choice to go to Penn State. I think it's a little bit like Notre Dame, honestly, guys, in that sense, in that they need to find their Marcus Freeman. They need to find that type of charisma. It's not that different going to South Bend or going to State College. They're both tough to get to. Penn State's a little easier with Chicago, obviously, but it's not terribly easier. They're very similar things, very specific things that you're selling. The other thing that's going on in the sport is this Kiffin news. So Brent McMurphy reporting that Kiffin has until the Egg Bowl, the week of the Egg Bowl, to commit to Ole Miss or not. The Athletic reported that Ole Miss gave Kiffin an ultimatum to decide if he'll be leaving the program for Florida LSU before the November 28th Egg Bowl against Mississippi State. McMurphy saying that if Kiffin doesn't meet that deadline, Ole Miss will have to decide if it would allow him to coach in the playoffs. If there is no resolution, it'll be an agonizing decision for Kiffin and the Rebels. On3 also reported that members of Kiffin's family were in Gainesville Sunday, Baton Rouge on Monday. He's in the same spot. He has done enough at Ole Miss right now that they'll name a stadium after him if he just stays there and does what he's doing right now. Like, it's Vaught Hemingway. It'll be Lane Kiffin Field, Manning Field at Lane Kiffin sideline. I mean, that's where he's at right now. If he goes to Florida or LSU, those two operations expect national championships. Ole Miss does not. It's a very different thing. If you're elite, you can win national championships at both of those places. I think LSU's the better job. Three different coaches won national titles there. Only great coaches have won national titles at the University of Florida. So to me, LSU's better than Florida, but I think that's going to be a real personal decision for Kiffin.
I do not understand why he would leave Ole Miss for Florida. The LSU thing I can understand, because the last three coaches before Brian Kelly all won national championships there. It's the only big school in the state. So I could understand the LSU thing. I think if he goes to Florida, it might not only be a lateral move. It might be going backwards.
It's a better job. I mean, there's more money. There's more proximity to talent. You can recruit the number one class in the country at Florida. You can't do it at Ole Miss. I know Hugh Freeze did it once, but it's really tough at Ole Miss. You can do it at Florida. It's shocking to me. I have very mixed feelings about the Florida job, because when they've won their national titles, they've had the best coaches like Urban and Spurrier. Mm-hmm. And other than that, it's been pretty middling. But it's a hell of a job. It is. I think it's a top 10 job too. So all of this stuff is swirling around the sport. And of course, we're in the catbird seat with the college football rankings coming out tonight. All right. Coming up next, a superstar in the making on the ice and a calamity that I could have prevented in a big, big way on 270. We'll get to all of it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan.
Give the gift.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Van weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Keep the umbrella handy as we have rain throughout the day today. It's going to be soggy and chilly with temperatures only getting into the mid-40s. For tonight, the rain eventually tapers off overnight with our lows down into the upper 30s. And then for Wednesday, it's more sunshine as we have mostly partly cloudy skies and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Hold on to your butts. Rivalry Week is coming.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Starting on Monday, we get you ready for, you know, The Fan. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hey, it's your Uncle Bo here. Get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Siada Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you'll earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the United States. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Siada Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick from more than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. Oh, baby. And the energy keeps building. Siada Downs has been chosen to host the most prestigious Breeders' Crown in the 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming right here to Columbus. So come experience the action, the rewards, and the unforgettable moments waiting for you at Eldorado Siada Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966 or visit caesars.com/Siada Downs for details. We had a crisis here in town last night that, had I been available or knowing of it, could have prevented. Do we have the audio of the breaking news on 10TV?
All right, check out this video tonight where we saw authorities getting a cow off the side of a highway and safely into the back of a truck. This all happened off I-270 in the Hilliard area earlier this evening, shutting down traffic in the southbound lanes for hours.
Well, quite a scene right there. 10TV's Libby Cathy is live over I-270 right now, Davidson Road, the overpass there. Libby, that's a pretty wild night for those folks.
Yeah, Jeff, it's a wild and utterly ridiculous story, but we are here to bring it to you. Yolanda, Jeff, as you can see, traffic is now moving normally behind me. But when we got here around 7:30, that was not the case. It was at a standstill for miles down 270. That's because just behind me, we witnessed authorities try to wrangle that cow from off the side of the highway. We heard a few atta girls. We can tell you at this hour, the cow is safe, and her name is Marigold.
Was that an utterly ridiculous? That's a fantastic job.
That's a good line.
That's a great line.
I can't believe at the end when she talked about the traffic, she didn't give the moving a little more there.
Well, I heard Hogan did get a moving in before we had the real details on it. Can you imagine how pissed off you would be if you're on 270 backed up for miles? Because I'm always, when I see something like that, I'm not proud of this, but when I see a massive backup like that, I'm like, well, this better be justified. Like, I don't want ill will or anyone being damaged, like in terms of their personal being, but like, this better not be something silly. And a cow running around is pretty silly.
Let me tell you, Bo, there being a Jackets game last night saved me from being in it.
Oh, because you would have been in the middle.
Every Monday night, I have a meeting up off of Sawmill Road for my other jobs, and normally I shoot down 270 and come home. I just happened to go the other way to 315 South to go to the arena, but I'd have been sitting there trying to find a way out.
So police officers responded after 6, spent the next hour plus attempting to coax the animal. This is pretty funny, which some on scene described as a bull. I'm going to tell you what, pretty easy distinction, bull cow. That's an easy one that we ought to be able to nail that right away.
This thing had horns like a bull.
Yeah, this wasn't some black and white milk cow.
Well, cows can have corns too. You don't have to be a bull, depending on the breed. But bulls don't have udders. So that's your jumping off point. That's your point of distinction.
I just thought of the great line from Kingpin. We don't have a cow. We have a bull.
That's right. You want
wiping the milk mustache.
Yeah. Oh, my God. God forbid. Jackets win in overtime. They gave it all up. I mean, it's you get the tying goal with a minute and a half to go, and you go, oh, my God, can we just have nice things for once? Take a 3-1 lead into the third, give up three to the Canadians, or two to the Canadians in the third, go to shootout and win it in the shootout. And so you get the 2 points, and that's obviously what matters most. I did want to – there is something as I was watching last night through the third period. After I got home for basketball, I watched the third period and then all of the extra stuff. Marchenko has it, doesn't he? He really has that
in
charisma.
Spades.
It's not just the talent. There's a charisma to him. There's a juice to him. He feels like a star. I know that Zach is a star, but there is something that's magnetic about Marchenko that to me feels a little. I don't want to put this on him. There's a little Panarin. There's a little extra juice to him. And if he continues on this pace, which is astronomical, we were curious if he had another gear to him. He feels like he's got superstar written all over him.
I think you're absolutely right, and it amazes me just the step he has taken this year, because he was so good last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the best forwards in the game last year, and not just offensively. Like he's probably a top 10 two-way forward right now. Mm-hmm. The way he's playing defensively, too. And he does remind me, you mentioned Panarin, it's funny. He reminds me of Panarin in the way that he always wants the puck back because he wants to score.
Mm-hmm.
He always, like, he is a dog on a bone trying to get the puck at all times, but he seems like he's faster this year. He just gets it. I love that they've got Fantilli on that line now, because mm-hmm. it seems like, and this is no offense to Sean Monahan, because Sean Monahan is a great player in his own right, and he's kind of looking for some wingers right now, but Fantilli and Marchenko can think the game at the same mm-hmm. speed. Sometimes there's a difference between playing the game at the same speed physically and then also mentally, and they kind of get it and do that together. Yeah. It's pretty impressive, and he's got a chance tonight to tie the Jackets all-time point streak. He's at 12 games right now in a row that he's got a point, and he tied Cam Atkinson last night for second. He could tie Ryan Johansson for first tonight.
He's got the longest active streak in the NHL, Marchenko does, and with him, Voronkov, and Fantilli, that line's just special.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the kind of juice that it brings. And, you know, even, I mean, last night was one of those games. I think it was the third shootout in four games for the CBJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've had five in like the last week and a half, and at least five overtime games. I don't think that's too much to panic about right now, because they're getting the result. But you gotta not let up in the third like that.
Well, Jed Greaves saved the bacon last night, because
he
was brilliant in the overtime. There's no way they should have won that game, because Montreal, they kind of midway through the third period tilted the ice in their favor. And I mean, it was a huge slant. It was all downhill in that overtime. Jet Greaves was amazing.
That turnover from Zach was
not
great. You just never see him do that. You just never see him do it. And Jet made the save, and you get to a shootout, and then you get it. But yeah, I think it's a twofold conversation. Like, what happened in the third, take some notes. Let's prevent that. But then the Marchenko thing is, I just saw him with Mets on the post game. I'm listening to him, and I'm like, he's got kind of a cat eat the canary bit to him. Like, he kind of feels like he's got it all sort of figured out. Like, he's pretty clever. He plays the language, but he's good enough. I mean, there's a lot to him. There's a lot of superstar qualities to him.
He's always smiling, mm-hmm. and there's no doubt, like, him and Voronkov, they are always having fun.
Yes.
Like, Voronkov, he doesn't speak much English, but they all say he's one of the funniest guys in the room. Marchenko's always cracking jokes, too. I think those dudes just love playing together.
Yeah, and Marchenko, he just looks cool. He wears 86. He's got the long hair. Like, he just looks like there's, like, a Jager quality. Like, I'm not saying stylistically. I'm just saying that when you see him on the ice, you are drawn to it. You're just drawn to him. You can't miss him.
Bo, this is something I don't know if we've ever been able to say as Jackets fans in the history of the organization. I think you have your top line for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and just sign them up. Sign me up. Like, that's just go with that, and away we go. And no, it was, so that was fun. It was a fun, and the building was great. So it always is when the Canadians are there. A lot of red jerseys, obviously, with the Habs coming to town. Buckeyes set their sights on Purdue, but really seeing through the Scarlet Knights to Michigan next week. Where are we health wise, and why? Pretty funny back and forth between the guys and Ryan on champion grades. We'll get to all of that coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up,
Jew? Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, coming up today at noon, you will have the Ryan Day press conference. At that press conference, I'm sure he will be grilled about who is going to play Saturday against Rutgers. My hunch is the answer to that will be, we'll see. I'm guessing he's not going to declare anything today in terms of who will play and who will not. And the who we are in concern with are 17-4. I would assume Julian will go, but the I think he's more than fine. But you want to be healthy for Michigan. You are 33.5-point favorites over Rutgers. Your twos would beat them. I just think that's just the real truth of it all right now. Your twos would beat them. And so the question is something we've been dealing with here for about 3 weeks, is how do you make this team continuing to get sharp while also taking care of victories and getting healthy, because that's really what this month of November has been about, with Big Blue looming at the end of it. One of the things that was cool to see this past weekend in the win against UCLA was the run game getting going. And here's Ryan Day from Roundtable last night discussing the results in the run game.
Well, we put a lot of work into it. We always do. So it was good to see some results. I think that the guys up front, you know, really got better technically. That was really one of the focuses going into the week. And, you know, the running backs getting downhill, first off, taking care of the ball. But then, you know, the first 4 yards are for the team. And then after that, then go to work. And it was good to see them break some tackles, get to the second level. And then also, you know, some really good effort, you know, by the tight ends and receivers getting downfield and finishing their blocks.
Yeah, I think everybody, Reese, you made the point yesterday, and I think it was so on point. They're seeing winged helmets already. They're seeing maize and blue already. That's what raising the championship grade, that's what lighting Julian up for inaccuracy, that's what a lot of this stuff is about, is they're seeing Michigan. And we're all seeing Michigan, right? And this is what happens when the schedule is the way that it's been this month, is you're seeing through opponents for something bigger down the line. And it's Michigan and it's Indiana and it's everything that follows after that. And a lot of this is just a preamble to that.
Have we done a show without mentioning Michigan?
Penn State week.
Probably, yeah, it. Because I think even with State Texas.
Week. Last 2 weeks, though.
Even with the Texas game and the lead up to that, you said, okay, this is going to be huge for Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always that caveat, even after they won the national championship, you're celebrating for a week,
mm-hmm.
and you're always kind of adding the but to it. Are they going to repeat as champions again? They got, you know, Jeremiah Smith coming back, Julian Sain, you know, at quarterback this season, but you got to beat Michigan.
You go back to our conversations, guys, in July, and it was, you know, when we set the expectation for this team, we didn't say win the national title. We didn't. They had to replace 8 starters on defense. They had a freshman, I mean, second year, but first year quarterback. We didn't sit here and say they had to replace 2 NFL running backs. Like, we weren't sitting here saying go win the national title. We were saying beat Michigan, win the Big Ten. Beat Michigan, win the Big Ten. So that's where they're at. They're almost there. They're almost to the beat Michigan, win the Big Ten portion of the schedule. If you go back to July, we looked at kind of 3 data points, and I thought the schedule was actually perfect if Penn State would have held up there into the bargain, where you had Texas, you had Penn State, and you had Michigan. So you had these 3 massive barometers beginning a little bit more than middle, more like two-thirds, and then end to kind of see where you were. And then in between, we thought some of these games would be a little bit more competitive than they are. And I think that's led to kind of where we are. And I think that's what leads to Ryan raising the champions grade. He was asked by the fellows about rating it and making it the standard. Here's his answer.
It's hard to grade out as an offensive lineman, you know, closer to 90%, which is, you know, what some of our guys did. And same thing on defense. No, it's just not easy to do. But where we're going and what we're doing, we have to do that. And so the coaches have been critical with technique. They've been critical with effort to making sure that, you know, we're playing our best football down the stretch. So, you know, we up that because that's the way it's going to be, man. We got to be on our game. It could come down to one play. So, you know, even if somebody maybe misses being a champion by a play or two, you know, hopefully they realize that, you know, it could be the play that makes or breaks the game down the road.
You can hear it in his voice, can't you? Like, he seems to me, I mean, this is amateur psychologist, but to me, it seems there's a tone to him of, there's a serious tone. I mean, they won 48-10. They're 30-some-and-a-half point favorites this week. But there's not a lot of jocularity because of what's coming and what's looming. And he knows it, and they all know it. And I think it takes a very special team to be coached this way, to receive coaching. It takes a very special type of player to be a part of a 48-10 win and to receive critical coaching. This is what you didn't do right. Well, hold on, coach, we won 48-10. Like, it takes a special player. Like, think about saying 80% completions. What was he this weekend? 74?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Yeah. And he got ripped on national television.
And he looked pissed.
The worst we've seen all year.
Yeah. No, he got ripped. I mean, multiple times he got ripped. And I think a lot of it had to do with the ankle. I think that's where the inaccuracy, I think it had more to do with that. Maybe there's some miscommunication on the end. But once the ankle happened, he wasn't quite as accurate as he was because his platform was a little
And I don't know if this has been mentioned enough, but he took a couple shots where you're like, what are you just going to let him run through the quarterback right like that?
Yes. Oh, boy. I mentioned that on social. It's a good. Thank you for bringing that up, Reese. Yeah, I thought they really allowed UCLA to put their hands on him after he released the ball.
Right.
One time he got hit in the head with a paw after he released it. And I was, well, we don't allow that. That's roughing. I mean, you can't touch the quarterback like that. So if you're Julian, just think about how special of a person you have to be to complete 74% of your passes on a season where you're completing 80% of the passes. Going into the weekend, you're the co-favorite to win the Heisman. You win 48-10. You got a coach ripping you. The standard is the standard. But it takes a special person to be able to take that on, take that type of coaching. Not everybody can do it. That's the type of players they've recruited here, is guys who want to be coached that way. You have to accept it. You have to accept the coaching. A lot of places, they don't accept the coaching. You come at me, I'm out. I'm going to hit the portal. That's not happening here.
And you're right. It's a special kind of person. It's the person they're recruiting. It's also easier, and it's why you're able to get these guys when you have the lineage in the NFL right now and yes, all these offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Mm-hmm. You see Quinshon and Emeka going right into the league and standing out. Guys like Cody Simon and Denzel Burke playing a big big part on their team. Jack Sawyer doing things at Pittsburgh. Absolutely. That you saw him do at Ohio State. That all is part of it. It helps.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's NFL U. It's all happened. Everything Pantone talked about with Urban 15 years ago, it's all happened. Like, they're NFL U. Every position. So it makes it easier. But you still have to accept it. And you got to be able to take it. And that there's a level of that that you have to be special to be able to do. So this was the end of Roundtable. Do I have this right in regard to the champions grade?
This was the end of Ryan's segment Roundtable. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, we modeled this show after you, Coach, so we had to raise Lachey and Keel's grade up to 83% as well, just so you know, okay?
How'd they grade? How'd they do?
We had some work to do, okay?
It was a tough grader.
The idea of C's get degrees don't work in Ohio State.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen
right
to that.
Got Coach, some laps to run, yeah.
That's awesome. We're so blessed to have those guys.
How dare you say there's work to do on Big Daddy?
Come on now.
Come on.
Come on. That guy's the voice. Come on.
Guy did a basketball game Sunday right after.
Yeah, his weekend was nuts. I mean, you're getting out of Ohio Stadium 1 o'clock, and then you're turning right around to get to Ohio to get to the shot at 8, 9 o'clock to prepare for Ohio State Notre Dame.
God almighty, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. There's not a whole lot that do that. There was a guy at Tallahassee who did it, Gene Deckerhoff. He actually lived in my neighborhood. He was the voice of the Seminoles and the voice of the Buccaneers. And he would do Seminole games Saturday, and then he had a deal with an RV company. And after the game, no matter when it ended, he would drive his RV down to Tampa to call their game.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Dan Hoard do that in Cincinnati? He calls UC Bearcats games and then Cincinnati Bengals?
Could be. That's the same town, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's 4 hours from Tallahassee to Tampa. Yeah. Like, that'd be like calling calling Kentucky Wildcat basketball games or something like that. I mean, or Tennessee Titans games. That's a big drive, man, that he would make every single night to make all of that work. But yeah, those guys are the standard. There's no question. Interesting to hear the press conference today. And of course, we'll carry it here on the Fan in terms of health. If you get any sort of updates, my hunch is you won't. I think we'll get closer to game day on all those guys, and I would be shocked if you see much. If you see 4-17, I think it's going to be a strict pitch count.
And they asked Ryan last night on Roundtable about it, and he really didn't see, like, well, we got no updates. We'll get out there on the practice field tomorrow and see how everyone is. And
yeah. We had football last night out in the desert. The Cowboys bombed the Raiders. By the way, Myles Garrett may get the sack record on Sunday playing this Raiders team. He might just get it. He's got 15 already. He may get it as the Browns head out to the Raiders on Sunday. In addition to that, the Manning cast redeemed itself, at least for a moment, for me. We'll get into all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
I was in foot pain.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Up and laugh with the Bob and Tom Show on The Fan 2.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
It says here they've won 5 Marconi Awards. I can't even spell Marconi. The Fan 2, Columbus's home of the Bob and Tom Show.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, it's your Uncle Bo here. Now, before you buy a diamond, and trust me on this, go see my friends at Diamond Seller. Not all jewelers are created equal, and for more than 78 years, Diamond Seller has set the standard for craftsmanship, service, and value. Their in-house jewelers and gemologists work together to make sure every diamond is brilliant as the person you love. All backed by their guaranteed best price. They don't just sell rings, they build relationships that last generations. This holiday, shop or I shop. Diamond Seller, true jeweler, trusted for over 7 decades. Visit DiamondSeller.com for more. It wasn't a fun Monday night football game, but as I'm watching this game and I'm thinking to myself, I had both up, so I had the hockey on, I had this on. Did Jerry get this right? With Micah Parsons. So, record-wise, not yet. They're 4-5-1, right? But he's got 2 stud receivers. He's going to have to get Pickens signed up, but he's a stud. He's got a really good quarterback. Now, the Raiders suck, so I acknowledge that. He's got a pretty good back. They used some of the bounty in exchange for Parsons to get Wilkins, who was great last night. They got Frank in the Clark in the trade. They're going to have 2 ones, theirs and Green Bay's. he can buttress that defense. I mean, they're not going to win anything this year, but they can buttress that defense in a hurry, and he'll have two receivers studs in his prime. He's got a big-time quarterback, pretty good ground game. You had two first-round picks if you hit them on defense. It's not crazy to think that this might actually just work out for them. Not this year, but maybe next.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. Because that, like you said,
opponent sucked.
They're really, really bad team, the Las Vegas Raiders. I jumped in. I forget when exactly. It was Giannis went out their game against the Cavs with a groin injury, and then I stopped watching the Cavs Bucks.
What'd you think of those unis?
I liked them.
Yeah.
Just don't do them again, I guess. They're fine for the one-off, like, city edition things. But I thought I was in the wrong feed at first. Like, I was like, do I need to reset Peacock? Because this isn't right. This isn't the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was.
Yeah.
So Las Vegas is so bad that I can't make anything of Dallas mm-hmm. right now.
It's fair.
And I don't know how they've handled off seasons. Wouldn't give me the most amount of confidence that they can, like, build any momentum. So say they do, you know, win five or six more games this season and maybe hang around that just a... whatever the graphic they show on CBS that's like, oh, they're still in the hunt.
Yeah.
But then they'd have to build off it in the offseason, and the Cowboys not the greatest at taking end-of-season momentum into the next year.
So I kind of, when the Cowboys made this deal, was on the mm-hmm. side of the Cowboys then.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, I know, like, I'm never an overpay for people, and I'm not saying you overpay. I think Green Bay ended up overpaying for Micah Parsons. They could have had him for about $8 million a year less, but outside of quarterback, I don't know if I ever want to overpay for somebody. I think it's not easy to find defensive ends, but you can find defensive ends that can give you plenty of production. Now, Micah mm-hmm. Parsons is really good. And yeah. I know the idea of draft picks is to hit on them and get a player like Micah Parsons and then keep them long term. But I always thought the deal for the Cowboys, especially when supposedly, if you believe Jerry and who knows, you offered him $40 or $41 million a year and his agent said no.
Yeah.
When Micah might have said yes. I mean, who knows how that all went. And then he ends up signing for 48 with Green Bay. Like, I always thought the trade was good for Dallas. They got a defensive lineman who's really good, who can help them now in the interior. And I also, would Dallas be any better right now with Micah Parsons? Would their record be any different than what it is?
No. I mean, it's the Miles. Miles is playing defensive end this season better than anyone's ever played defensive end in the history of football. And the Browns have two wins.
Yeah. So unless it's a quarterback, I'm not letting them hold me hostage.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing that's so tough about it. So it does seem like they're going to get multiple pieces for one. And when they're humming it with those two receivers, they're tough to defend. I still have no idea why Pete Carroll took that Raiders job.
Or why Chip took it.
Well, I know why Chip took it. I'm sure he had
6 million reasons why Chip took it.
Yeah, so, and also
for Pete.
Yeah, money. But I mean, Pete's got a lot, and Chip's got a lot, to be fair.
doesn't make sense.
I don't think Chip wanted the life. Chip's a lot younger. I don't think Chip wanted the lifestyle of college football any more than he had. Like, he kind of got to go out on top, and I'll see you on down the road, kids. And who knows? Maybe he can be the long-term head coach there. Maybe that's in play, too. But that situation's a mess. I will say this. I've been out on... I don't know, not out on Manning Cast. I just haven't watched it as much this year as I did in the previous couple of years. And I still have some of the same criticisms I've always had for it. I have no idea why two guys who are as charismatic as Peyton, especially, and Eli Manning need to read cue card questions to guess. I just don't understand that. Like, they obviously know the guests very well. In the case of last night, they had George W. Bush on. And George W. Bush was damn funny. He was damn funny. At one point, Peyton asked him a scripted question about, did you ever think you were going to, you know, be in public life and be in politics and serve? And George W. Bush said something to the effect of, oh, heck no. If I did, I would have behaved differently in college, which is a great line. I really enjoyed that line. So that part was very fun. His sense of humor was really came through. And there's some great stories about playing golf together and all of this stuff. But the idea that those two guys need cue cards is really wild to me. And I do think that a lot of the shine that was on that show the first couple of years, I find that I forget it's on. And honestly, if I didn't have Spectrum with the cable guide, I wouldn't have even gone to it. I just would have went straight to the game, and I never would even remembered it was on.
Yeah, had you not said anything this morning.
Yeah.
And bad job by ESPN. If they're getting W on the broadcast, don't you advert? I didn't see anything yesterday amidst a ton of news that ESPN had. Like, there was a lot of the coaching carousel. There's, you know, a lot on college basketball. Like, wouldn't you at least say, hey, W is coming on the Manning cast? But I didn't see anything.
And he rarely does public anything. He hasn't done anything public, not much, in years.
That's a lot of Southern accent in one broadcast.
Yeah. He was great. He was great. Have you guys ever been to Nantucket? Or not Nantucket. Oh, my God, the place in Maine. Why am I? Kennebunkport. Have you ever been up there?
No.
No.
There, it's everything you'd want, like, a New England town to be. Their compound on the end of that, it's on this little island. It's not an island, but kind of a peninsula that their compound is on, is just everything you'd want it to be. Like, it's like Camelot. It's
and snipers.
Yes. I'm sure they have those too. But it's very, very cool. I actually played golf at the golf course, Cape Arundel is the name of it, where HW played almost, you know, every day in the summer. Really cool, short little 9-hole course in the town. It was really cool. All right, we'll play a little game called The Real Truth coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Monday starts up a pretty big week. Gobble, gobble, and all that crap. Let's focus on what really matters. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's Team.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
From the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The college football coaching carousel continues to spin. On Monday, James Franklin landed at Virginia Tech. He'll be formally introduced on Wednesday. As for Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss gave him an Egg Bowl ultimatum amid reports from interest from LSU and Florida. Kiffin needs to commit to the Rebels on or by November 28th, or the school might not let him coach in the college football playoff. The third set of CFP rankings will be out tonight at 8:30. Ohio State looks to remain the top seed in the playoff bracket projection. OSU's Ryan Day is going to hold his weekly press conference today at noon. His team's going to host Rutgers Saturday at noon. In the NFL last night, the Cowboys beat the Raiders 33-16. Las Vegas will host Cleveland Sunday at 4:25. Shedeur Sanders will start at quarterback for the Browns. And in the NHL, the Blue Jackets beat the Canadiens 4-3 last night in a shootout. Columbus is going to play in Winnipeg tonight at 8 o'clock. You can hear CBJ Hockey Tuesday right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Tuesday edition. Uncle Dommy coming by in 29 minutes from now. Time now to hit that real truth.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Cellar. Over 76 years of experience and guaranteed lowest prices on Sawmill Road or DiamondCellar.com.
All right, so the Good Hair Guy told you the third CFP rankings are going to be out tonight at 8:30. Mm-hmm. It's going to be your intermission after Michigan State, Kentucky, then before Kansas and Duke on ESPN. Both those college basketball games are at Madison Square Garden.
This is always one this one's ridiculous because you just have to wait for the games to end, and college basketball games last 4 minutes, take 2 hours. I mean, this is the one I like the least of all the ones they do.
What a couple days for Madison Square Garden, by the way.
What'd like, they have?
Big
what
else time, they have? Big time hoops matchups. We got WWE there last night. John Cena's final appearance at Madison Square Garden.
Oh.
It was big time.
Your
MSG.
Boy was there too, wasn't he?
Who's my boy? Scataboo?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to talk about that later.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Well, you want me to do it for the real truth? Or you want me to save it?
Well, you know, let's go ahead. Let's do it since we're talking about
it. The Giants should be mad at Cam Scataboo for participating in a fracas Monday night on Raw. Is that the real truth?
So I didn't see it. Bake, can you describe what happened?
So I actually just saw it right before we talked about it because I was at the Jackets game last night, but there was some Giants front row. Cam Scataboo was one of them. They got in an argument with one of the wrestling factions, and Cam pushes the guy and knocks him down to the ground, and then Cam gets pushed back, and he's in a walking boot and out for the year. Just think, like, if I'm the Giants, like, I don't think there's anything more perfect, by the way, than Cam Scataboo participating in WWE. I think that's brilliant, and there might be something there post-playing career.
Yes.
But, man, when you're out for the year injured, I know it's play fighting, but he literally got pushed. I'd be a little worried about that if I'm the Giants.
Okay, so the real truth is, if you're the Giants, yes, you are.
Not
on a scale of 1 to 10, Matt, I think you're like a 6. But you're probably, somebody in management is like, hey, dude, let's not be dummies.
The Giants had to okay this. There's no way this happens without their approval.
No, I don't think that's true, Bake. I don't think that's true. I think he could have, they're not weighing in on every personal decision that he makes, and I'm sure he's not asking. I'm sure, or even if he did say he was doing it, could have been like, hey, I'm doing this. Like, I'm sure they didn't get the details he was going to be shoved. So I'm sure they're just like, hey, let's be better. If he's in the boot, you know, depends on the shove. I wouldn't want him in harm's way. Like, I wouldn't do that. I'm sure that they're not crazy about it. And I'm sure there was a very simple text exchange between management to him or, hey, stop by the office, have a quick chat. Like, let's not put ourselves in harm's way is my hunch.
So I posted the Scataboo scuttlebutt at 971BFS on Twitter, which is now working. There'll be three more playoff reveals after this one, including the finale Sunday, December 7th. The SEC is a lock to get five teams into the CFP, while the Big Ten will get three. Is that the real truth?
I don't think it's a lock, but I think it's now where we... I think it's very probable. As much as I've been trying to finesse a way for four Big Ten teams to get in, the amount of... Because of how low the committee thinks of Oregon, juxtaposed to where they rank USC, even a USC win over Oregon, it would probably put USC in, but it would take Oregon out. And so if that's the case, you need unmitigated chaos in the SEC, and I just don't see it. I am having a hard time seeing a scenario where the SEC isn't going to get five, and I think it's utter nonsense, but I think they're going to. I think Texas A&M is going to get in. I think they're pretty much automatic at this point at 10-0. I think they're automatic. I think Georgia's in. Ole Miss would take an unmitigated, even a loss in the Egg Bowl, I still think they're going to get in. So I think those three are in. Oklahoma, Bama, Vanderbilt. So that's six. All they need is five of those six to be 10-2. And I think they're going to get in. And I think where they have positioned Vanderbilt is very interesting. It almost gives them cover. The only thing that would take them out of the five game is if somehow the Big 12 gets two. And I was trying to find a way that the Big 12 gets two, and the only way I can think of it is if BYU wins out and beats Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship game, because the committee does like Texas Tech a lot. So then potentially you could see two Big 12s, which would take the fifth SEC out. But I've kind of given up hope that the Big 10 is going to get four. I think the Big 10 is locked in at three.
I kind of agree that the Big Ten is locked in at three, and I've kind of felt that way for about 3 weeks now. I think, what was it that week that Iowa lost to Oregon and then Washington lost as well. I was like, well, there goes four for the Big Ten. It's not impossible.
There's one it more. Is,
yes, go. we're not even.
I know.
I don't think it's a lock for the SEC either, because I'm not sold Vanderbilt is going to get in at 10-2. They might. I'm not sold on that.
They're six, though, right now, Bake.
I understand. I get it.
You're the sixth one.
I just don't.
So you got to get losses. Where are the losses going to come?
Well, Oklahoma plays Missouri and LSU still, so it's not a guarantee that they're going. And here's the thing. If we do not want that many SEC teams, what we need to root for, I feel like, is Bama, Georgia in the SEC title game, which it looks like it could be if A&M loses to Texas. Mm-hmm. And then you need A&M. You need Bama to lose in the, whether it's A&M or Georgia, you need Bama to lose in the SEC title game.
You need Bama to lose in the Iron Bowl, which isn't bloody likely, but that's really what you need. Because if Bama gets to the SEC title game, and they have the pick, they would pick up their third loss. Their losses would be to Florida State, which is brutal, Oklahoma, and an SEC title game loss. That would be...
Well, they kept them out last year like that.
Yeah, yeah, so that would be the kind of the path. You need Bama to lose to Auburn, and then I think maybe not. But you need some chaos in the SEC because it's set up right now where they're going to get five.
Michigan and USC will leave the Big Ten in 10 years. Is that the real truth?
No, they won't. This goes into the reporting yesterday that everybody kind of put a pause on the private equity. And now the UC investment, they're like, it's not private equity. That's not what it is. We're doing this. We didn't tell this right. This story's not being told right. Look, it's not being told right because you didn't do it right. Right. And I do think one thing has happened to the Big Ten. The other thing that happened yesterday was this notion of the Big Ten presenting like their 2014 playoff. I think the Big Ten got too big for its own britches. And I don't mean the size of their power. I mean physically too big. What really do Maryland, Rutgers, Penn State, Ohio State have in common with Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington? What does Iowa have in common with Washington? What... This league got too damn big, geographically too big. It got too big in terms of we have a bunch of institutions that are not like-minded in many ways. And it's one of the things that the SEC got very right. They have a very nice cultural fit with that conference. Geographical fit for the most part and cultural fit. The Big Ten, it got way too big. And that's why last week when we were talking about this, I'm like, I don't know, maybe go bigger and have a true West branch of it that's like the old Pac-12 and a true East branch that's the old Big Ten and try to do it that way and almost have them kind of National League, American League it, kind of govern each other and play in their own sandboxes and then meet in a Big Ten championship, a Big Ten championship game. It just feels like it is, the real truth, no, they're not going anywhere. But I do think that wrangling this conference is a lot harder than most.
They're not going anywhere because these schools need these conferences for the sports, every sport that's not football. So we've talked about this on this show before. We need to separate football. Mm-hmm. Football in college athletics needs to be its own entity where we have the CFP and all of these things, and they have these big TV deals and yada yada, however many teams you want to make it, the top 64, the top 80, whatever. And then just go back to the old school conferences and everything else.
Mm-hmm. I bring this real truth up because yesterday with all of that reporting on the Big Ten and their private don't call it equity deal, Michigan Regent Jordan Acker, told Nicole Auerbach on SiriusXM's College Sports Today, quote, the possibility of independence for football is certainly something that has to be considered, not today, but at the end of the grant of rights. That's the 2036 version.
Can you imagine having the arrogance to say that?
Only the Michigan man?
In Michigan arrogance. Can you imagine having any damn clue about what this sport's going to look like in 10 years? But any clue.
That's what makes this private equity deal so stupid.
Of course,
going into 20 years. And, like, listen, I don't care if it's arrogance or not. Good on them.
I
wish Ohio State would do it. I wish Ohio State would throw it out on the table and be like, hey, boys, we're running this. We're different. We don't need all of you. We're going to decide how this stuff goes.
Yeah, I think what they were told is that they're going to have a much bigger voice and they're going to be able to drive the bus on future expansion and all of it. But right now, to me, it feels like the ideals of the Big Ten at large don't meet what I think most people want Ohio State's ideals to be. I don't think most people around here want a 2014 playoff. I don't. I don't think most people around here wanted a conference that had four teams on the West Coast that added Rutgers and Maryland. I don't think they wanted that. But Ohio State acts in the way, in the, if the favor, and they row in the same direction with a lot of the rest of the Big Ten, and they have for years, and they haven't been willing to have those pushbacks the way that Michigan and USC have had here for whatever reason. All right, coming up next, could we have Shedeur Sanders versus Kenny Pickett on Sunday? Can you imagine that? They were both in a four-person quarterback room a couple of months back. If it is Shedeur Sanders, what is the plan for that? How do you put him up and give him the best chance for success? We'll get into all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hi.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
I'm Leslie from...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Keep the umbrella handy as we have rain throughout the day today. It's going to be soggy and chilly with temperatures only getting into the mid-40s. For tonight, the rain eventually tapers off overnight with our lows down into the upper 30s. And then for Wednesday, it's more sunshine as we have mostly partly cloudy skies and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Starting Monday, it's rivalry week. We call it that because the Buckeyes play a very annoying team from Michigan. Clever.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan. The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
And we are proudly sponsored and brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Buckeye Jewelry starting at just $99. Sawmill, Easton, check them out. They'll take care of you. Tell them I sent you. Look, this could, this was not on my bingo card. It was not on my bingo card that it's potentially this Sunday in Las Vegas. Shedeur Sanders, potentially against Kenny Pickett, potentially. They were both in the same quarterback room, that four-headed quarterback room they had through much of training camp. The Shedeur Sanders debut on Sunday was kind of what I thought it would be. Many of the things that had dogged him in the process showed up on Sunday. A willingness to hang in the pocket really way too long, a willingness to drift in the pocket and drift and drift and drift and take devastating sacks. It's one thing to take a 5-yard sack. It's another thing to take a 16-yard sack. And so those are some of the things that he does, and maybe an unwillingness or an inability to identify where blitz is coming from and process and get the ball out quickly and mitigate damage. Those would be the negatives. The positives were pretty big too. A willingness to rip the ball down the field. A willingness to give receivers a chance to make plays. The throw that he made when they were trying to complete the 2-minute drive to Gage Larvinen is the type of throw that Dylan hasn't made many of. So he was willing to put the ball and give his receivers a chance. The one he'd like to have back is the one to Isaiah Bond, because that's one that he hit in camp all of the time, the deep ball in the corner of the end zone. And if he hits on that, then nobody's talking about 4 of 16. They're not talking about any of it. They're talking about potentially a Browns shocking win. A quick side note on this. The way that the Cleveland Browns are playing defense isn't discussed enough because they aren't getting the results. But it should be probably talked about more. Carson Schwessinger probably should be in the running for all pro, not all rookie, all pro. He had two plays in the game on Sunday that were supernatural, and both on Derrick Henry. One where he stood him up in the hole, and another one where he kind of got him from the side and Henry couldn't go through it. You rarely see that with Derrick Henry. And then Myles Garrett, and this is not hyperbole. Are you guys aware of how many tackles for loss Myles Garrett has already this season?
Not the exact number, but I'm going to assume it's 20.
I was going to say it's about 25, I think.
So last year he led the NFL in tackles for loss with 22. He's got 22 already.
You said it perfectly. He's playing better at that position than anybody else in the league.
He has 15 sacks.
Better than anybody is playing at their respective position.
If they had a winning record, he would be in the MVP.
Yeah.
And Miles is obviously playing how he's playing, and he's playing great. The rest of that defensive line has been really good, too. And yeah. they've had a lot of different moving parts.
Malik Collins,
Aiden Huntington, Mason mm-hmm. Graham. Like, these guys have all been playing well. And I think the defensive tackle position, how well they've been playing there, has really helped free up things for Miles. Not taking away anything that what Miles is doing. But those D tackles have been so good, that really helps. I don't know if he's really ever had that before. Not to this level,
I think. No, I think their overall depth on the defensive line is better than it's ever been.
And Schwesinger's been awesome.
He's awesome. Yeah, he's been spectacular. It also goes to tell you that when people tell you defense wins championships, they're full of it. You can only go so far with it, right? They have two wins, and they have a defense that's... They had a defense that had 10 tackles for loss and 5 sacks and scored a touchdown, and they lost. Lamar threw 2 picks, and they lost. This is a scoring league. It's a weapons league. It's a scoring league. And if you can't do that, then defense is lost. That's just the reality of it. So let's get back to Shadur. I addressed this yesterday, but I do think it needs to be reiterated. There are two things that have happened during the conversation around him. One is just ignorance, and the other is just not genuine, disingenuous. Number one, the ignorant part, the idea that second backup quarterbacks or third and fourth string quarterbacks would get first team reps. Really, even in training camp, you would never get them. Third, fourth string quarterbacks don't get first team reps at all in training camp. And in the season, backup quarterbacks don't get first team reps. And this isn't me talking about it. This is guys who have been backup quarterbacks talking about it.
It was hilarious yesterday to see like all of the backup quarterbacks that are really prominent backup quarterbacks in the league, like Josh McCown, Dan Orlovsky, his name's escaping me, but he does Mid-American Conference broadcast on ESPN. Like, all of these guys just saying, yeah, this is how this works.
It's just ignorance. Like, the people who talk about the league and the people who cover it, like, to not understand how practice works in the NFL is crazy. I mean, you get, like, 30 reps a week at quarterback. There's no time for this. Like, the notion that he was done a disservice by not getting first team reps is utter nonsense. So then the other part is disingenuous, and that's the former players, because they know better. So when you see former players on these shows talking about how he should have got first team reps, that's just disingenuous. They know better. They know how the NFL works. They're doing it for clicks, because he's the most popular college football player in the draft, or certainly one of them, and everybody knows who he is. And certainly when you talk about him, it's rewarded in terms of the social media bounce. None of this is his fault. This isn't his fault. None of it. But that's just kind of the backstory on all of this, the way it's all gotten spun really out of control. So what happens this week? Well, Dylan's in concussion protocol, and we'll probably know more on Wednesday when Kevin Stefanski talks again. He was available yesterday and gave his thoughts on Shadur's debut. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, I think it's all positive. You're constantly learning as a young football player, constantly learning as a quarterback through all reps. You know, we talk so much about mental reps and those type of things, how important they are. So all those physical reps, I think, add up and will only improve as he continues to get turns.
He got the reps question yesterday. Here he is. Here's Stefanski on if he would have given Shadur first team reps.
It's important that you do what you think is right for a football team. The development of our players is constant. It doesn't happen just in one drill or in one practice or one meeting. So we trust our guys. We trust our backup players to be ready to go, and Shador's ready to go. Obviously, I know he wants to play better. I want to coach better, all those type of things, but that just comes, that'll come through work. That's where it will come.
I do hate that this has come at the, I feel like Dylan Gabriel has taken a lot of slings and arrows on, as like he was the bad guy in all this for just showing up, doing his job, and all of those things. And it stinks that this is a concussion situation that may lead to this, but I do want to see Shador play. And when we went through the draft process through the combine, the thing that I kept going back to was there wasn't a single evaluator that didn't have him going middle of the second round at worst. And a lot of people had him going even higher than that. But there was some disconnect between that and how NFL teams viewed him. But we've seen Dylan Gabriel play quite a bit. And I do think for the Cleveland Browns, the number one job this season is to see if they have to address quarterback again this offseason. And I think you need to see Shador play a little bit. And he does need to get a week of prep and building an offense around his strengths and trying to mitigate the weaknesses. And I want to see what that looks like. And he is an incredible natural thrower of the football. He has an ability to layer the football that is absolutely elite. I'd like to see that on Sunday and see what it looks like with a full week and with an offensive game plan built around his skills.
Yeah, somehow a game between two 2-8 teams has now become nationally relevant.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the Shador Sanders circus is maybe the wrong word because I'm generally interested. And I want him to succeed as a Browns fan. I think the coaching staff wants to see him succeed because their jobs are at stake here in this. And the idea that they wanted to see him fail is it's ridiculous.
Just nonsense.
So
yeah. They drafted him.
I mean,
everybody in the NFL passed. They drafted him. They've been looking for a franchise quarterback since Bernie Kosar, for God's sakes.
It's of course going to have the negative spin because it's Cleveland and this Browns regime's not been great with quarterbacks, and so you're going to have all of that with this. But this is the opportunity for Shador that everybody else like longs for, a fifth round pick. Getting to play against, if he just turns his back to the defense less, I think they'll be in a good spot to be competitive in this game with the defense and the way the Browns have been playing there.
The one thing you said there, Bo, that scares me for Shador and the Browns, and I know Tommy Rees is calling the offense now, but you said build an offense around his skill set, and that is not something that Kevin Stefanski, I feel like, has really done. I feel like Kevin Stefanski, and it's why they ended up having the split with Baker, is Baker didn't totally fit into what Kevin Stefanski wanted from a quarterback, and that's the sit back, see it, rip it type quarterback. And Shador's more of an off the cuff guy. I know he can be in the pocket, right, and he can do those things. I just think they're going to try to make Shador do what they want him to rather than building things that will help him.
Now, they didn't do that with Deshaun. Like, they did bring in Dorsey to try to run a shotgun offense, and they did it. It didn't work, and he got hurt. So they are open to that. And I do think that they will put him in the best position to succeed. Just a quick reminder, do you guys remember who Dorian Thompson-Robinson is?
Former Browns great.
Former UCLA quarterback.
Yep. So he was a fifth-round pick, just like Shador. Do you remember when he started?
They told him that
morning.
Did
not know he was going to start until Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. That was Baltimore, too.
None of this is ideal ever for these guys.
No, but my point is, I don't remember anybody clamoring for him to get reps. Right? This is the job.
Old DTR.
Yeah. Dom in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, we had a bull loose in Hilliard yesterday.
Can you believe that? And you know what? I called it in because I didn't know what was going on.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You called it in?
Yeah, I called it into the station that there was something going on because I was driving home and there's police cars going every which way. And I called up to Bob Donnelly, our assignment guy, and I say, Bobby, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. The freeway is backed up and there's like 8 police cars that just did a U-ey. They came up, got off at Tuttle Crossing and got back on and headed south on 270. And he called me back. Yeah, there's a cow loose on the freeway. How does that happen?
Why didn't you fix the problem?
What?
Get out of your car.
Yeah.
Wrangle the damn cow.
Yeah.
You've got experience.
Yeah.
You witnessed at the stockyards in Fort Worth.
Did.
You've been on the back of a Brahma bull.
Yes, that would be great. That would be wonderful. Yeah. You're the guy that thinks that sport with farm animal is good.
It's fantastic.
That is not sport. That is idiocy. Is that even a word, idiocy?
It's not. Idiocy.
Yeah, well, maybe. Whatever.
You just forgot a syllable.
I mean, what do you think? Do you think, you know, I think you could handle it. A bull for 8 seconds. Big deal. Great. You didn't break your neck. I mean, what are you doing?
All right. Two things.
Yes.
Number one, you're capable of doing this. I know I've taught you the ways of the West.
Yes,
I know. So you could have wrangled that sucker. Yes. There's no doubt. You remember that guy with the bull whip?
You know what I saw? New York strips. Because have you been to the grocery store? Ribeyes are $34 a pound.
I know.
Hamburgers, $7.99 a pound.
I had a...
I was like, how much for this? No, it's actually $11.99. It went up.
I had a... It's funny that you say that. I just had this over the weekend. I really like... I like a marinated hanger or a skirt steak.
Yeah, it used to be cheap.
Yeah. So I got a little more than a pound of it on Sunday to make something that I make every once in a while for the fam, and the little more than a pound was $26.99.
Yeah.
Like, what has happened?
90-10 was $11.99 a pound hamburger.
Jeez.
You know what? I'm eating that just the helper. Forget the hamburger. We're just having helper tonight.
All right. This is what.
How do you like your helper, honey?
Just noodles and cheese.
Yes.
How do you like that with a little tomato? Let me ask you this. If this next summer.
Yes.
If I can, I'm going to find a rodeo.
Yes.
Will you go with me?
I've been to the rodeo. You forget
this. No. Like,
I got on a Brahma bull out.
I know.
And the thing, they didn't turn it loose. Now they did two things. They put the bull in the stall and they go, here, you want to feel the power, get on the back of this bull. Mm-hmm. And I got on the back and the thing crushed my leg against the fence. And they're going, kick it. I'm going, kick it. I said, what are you talking about? He's breaking my kneecap off. And then they put me in a barrel. The clowns did. They put me in a barrel and they didn't let the bull hit me, but they let the experience how close it could come to hitting you in the barrel. That's when I was doing some of that nonsense stuff.
I dare dumb.
I was a real life Super Dave, but I actually took the punishment.
You know what they should do? You guys at Channel 10 should re-air those.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should start doing it again. Remember when I fought Olaf Roa in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Remember how that went? Kluge shooting me, and I didn't realize... Reeser knows because he's into that Brazilian jiu-jitsu stuff.
Yeah, he's a
and
black belt.
He'll just every once in a while, you'll see him just like throwing someone around and you know, doing the body slam stuff. Well, I thought it was like wrestling, and I had this Omar Roa on his back.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, he's working, and you're supposed to tap out. I didn't know that, and he popped my Tommy John, remember? And you hear that pop. And I'm like, oh, my, and it hurt like crazy. If I was a left-handed pitcher, I would have had surgery. And Kluge's got the camera down there. Hey, what just happened there? Did that hurt? It took everything in my power not to swear. I mean, no, it felt good. Something just popped in my arm, and you're going, hey, did that hurt?
Well, I think you felt confident in that one because you've always had a very elite ability to mount men dating back to your time at DeSales.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You've always had that ability.
Yes.
My favorite one of those was the dog one.
Let me get some writing time. Yeah, the dog one.
That was my favorite.
Where I'm scared to death of dogs. And remember, that dog was, that was Jimmy Stillwagon's dog, I believe.
I think you're right. Yeah, and you were dressed up in that dog. Yeah, they went like,
and they had
sick
it,
him.
They had it attack me. The two dumbest things I did is I got in the boxing ring with that kid that was like 23 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
And I just figured we'd screw around a little bit. And he hit me in the stomach and knocked me out of the ring. Remember? I couldn't breathe. And then the dumbest, though, was when, what was the name of our professional lacrosse team?
Oh, the Ohio Machine.
Yeah, the Machine. I remember they took me to Upper Arlington High School, and they had those two guys that set the world record for the fastest shots. It was like 100 and some miles an hour.
Yep.
And they go, you're going in goal. And I'm going, okay, great, yeah. So I go, where's my pads or whatever? They said, oh, you got a helmet, you got shoulder pads, and that's it. I said, what about downstairs? Oh, no, we don't wear any. I said, what are you talking about? You don't wear shin guards? You don't wear anything anywhere? No, you don't want to be. We don't do that. That's not the way we do it in this sport. I was like, what are you talking about? And I remember they hit me in the shin.
Yeah.
And it hurt. It still hurt. It's indented. Next time I see you, I'll have you feel where I have my knee permanently has like a little indention where that, and those things are as hard as a rock. They're throw. What do they call it?
Well, it's just a lacrosse ball, but it's like a giant ball? Super Bowl. Ball.
Yeah. Well, it's
just like a giant. If for those who haven't played it, it's just like a giant heavy Super Bowl.
That's the,
like when you were a kid.
The dumbest position in lacrosse is the keeper because you wear no pants.
I mean, the guts.
And a lot of those guys end up singing soprano. Because I'm telling you what. Holy smokes.
What do we do with these 30-point spreads every week, buddy?
All right, here, and I just did my take. Here's what I said. Okay. There's one game, and then we all know what's looming. We all know what's looming.
Yep.
And the schedule's a schedule. You got to finish it out. They're 31-point favorites. You just got to go out there, play the game. I hope they go in there with a business-like attitude. It's going to be senior day. It should be an emotional game, the last home game. But you got to go take care of business. That's a proud program. I like Greg Schiano and all that stuff. But you got to take care of business. You cannot play the Michigan game this week. And they got, as hard as it is, they got to block it out. We all know what's coming. I mean, it's on coach's mind. It's on all those guys. I don't know how healthy we're going to. I don't know what we'll do. I don't know. Will he play Jeremiah this week? Will he play Carnell this week? How healthy is Julian? They all got a little banged up. Yeah, you know, well, Carnell's been banged up now, two games. Jeremiah was limping pretty good after the game. And Julian was limping around a little bit, a little bit of ankle. Let's hope they're okay. Do you rest them? Because you and I know that this is the game that Ryan Day wants to win. This is the game the players want to win. This is the game the fans want to win. But we also got to keep it in perspective. You know, I don't want to think if it goes the wrong way, but it's a different day too, right?
Yeah.
But let's not even go there because,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's, and you know, the cliches are cliches because they're real. Do I think Ohio State's the best team in the country? Yes. Do I think they should beat everyone they play? Yes. But unfortunately, games are not played on paper, and you got to go out and do it. And, you know, the old saying goes, you throw the records out when it comes to a rivalry game. And it's a cliche because it's true. And it doesn't. I mean, how many times back when – Our buddy John Cooper went up to Michigan or came here where they were favorites and they ruined the day. It's just that's next week. You got to take care of it. They're huge favorites. The target is huge. The pressure is real. I think Ryan Day has done a masterful job of navigating it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think he's the best coach in college football.
Yeah.
And he has not changed his tune this week. From last week and the week before and the week before. It is the same message. Make the routine. Mm-hmm. We got to go out. And the buy-in factor seems to be real with these kids. I think he's done. And I do believe that there's a lot of meat on this bone that we have not seen yet.
I agree.
And I think it's coming. And I think he's been, you know, I asked him the other day, I said, all of this, what you're doing to me from the outside looking in seems very strategic. And you seem to have a plan. And he goes, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And
everything for a reason. Yeah.
Everything he does is for a reason. And he does not leave anything to guess. He worries about everything. And you know him as well as I do. He worries about everything. He thinks about the what ifs. I mean, I will never forget the one day when Urban's last game, he was getting ready for the Rose Bowl. And Ryan Day was running the offense. And Tim May and I were standing in the hall, and we said, you know, Coach Coop used to let us go in and watch the offensive game planning when he was here. He goes, he did not. I said, oh, yeah, he did. You've never let us in, Herbs. This is our last chance. He goes, he really let you guys in? We said, yeah. And you can ask Tim. He'll verify it. And so Urban came back out, and he goes, all right, you guys can come in for 20 minutes. Don't say a word. and just stand and observe.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, and we stood back there, and a couple guys were looking at us, and Urban said to them, I think they were like GAs or whatever, quit looking at those guys. They're not here. Don't pay any attention to those guys. They're not here. But we watched as Ryan ran that meeting, and the detail.
Yeah,
they were talking about one play and what defenses they might run it against and how they would block it.
Yeah,
just one play, and we ended up staying about a half an hour,
mm-hmm.
and they were still on that one play in a half an hour, and they would draw it up, and then the line coach would say, "What if we did this? And how about if we did this? And what if this guy?" I mean, it was absolutely. I would have lost my mind. That was one play. Think about the repertoire and what they do, and they do that every week. That's why mm-hmm. these coaches at this point of the season, they all look so tired. It's because they just the amount of time they put in game planning and how they do it, it blows my mind. I've never seen anything like it.
You're the best, buddy.
We'll
do it again next week.
You are, buddy. See you.
All right, pal. See you, buddy. There he goes. Tuesdays with DeBerry on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one? Yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Progressive and
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Jake Diebler's Buckeyes are back at the shot for a matchup with Western Michigan.
Live fan coverage starts Thursday night at 7, right after the Buckeye Show.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car? Maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Yeah, DeBerry and I went to the Stockyards in Fort Worth when the Buckeyes played in the national championship game. I found a video from 10 years ago from that I put up on the social, and you can track that down there. A lot of hijinks with your Uncle Sil and I in the good old days. Time for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, guys.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Over the weekend, Pete Nakos of On3 had reporting that Ed Orgeron was in contact with the University of Arkansas regarding their head football coaching vacancy. Trey Biddy from 24/7 Sports says, quote, Arkansas has zero interest in Ed Orgeron as head coach. Not sure where that started and why I keep getting asked about it. UA did have early contact with James Franklin, and he reached out to people about the inner workings at Arkansas, but he also will not be the Arkansas head coach. And, of course, the news came out that Virginia Tech's hiring James Franklin, while Ed Orgeron continues to be one of several names bandied about by every coaching vacancy because it's Coach O. Thing or not a thing.
My favorite part of that, and the reason I chuckled is because the way you worded the Nakos reporting, which was Ed Orgeron had been in contact with Arkansas. Oh, I bet he had. I bet he had been in contact with Arkansas. I bet he got on the phone right away. Wouldn't surprise me if he drove from Baton Rouge or wherever he lives all the way to Fayetteville to have a conversation and beg someone for that job. The reality is, if somebody hired him, like if Kiffin were to go to LSU or to Florida, and if he hired Coach O to be his deep line coach recruiting whatever, that would probably work. He's a hell of a recruiter. So I think he's got a fascinating path there, but also like the idea of him being head coach again is probably long since passed. It is pretty crazy that Les Miles, Ed Orgeron, and Gene Chizik all won national titles in the last 15 years. That's pretty hard to wrap your head around.
Sure.
20 years for less.
Coach O would have hopped in his truck and drove to Arkansas.
Of course.
Ready to go.
Absolutely.
I think it's interesting this reporting from, what would you say, Trey Biddy is the name? is almost like laughing this off. Like, what? Like, they're going to consider Coach O?
Yeah.
I feel like Arkansas might be pretty lucky to get Coach O. Like, I don't know how many coaches better than Coach O they're going to get there. And they obviously don't mind the ridiculous because Bobby Petrino's there again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Arkansas could do a lot worse.
Bake, this is the magic of the SEC, and this is why Feinbaum's show works and a northern version doesn't quite work. It's pretty simple. Everybody down there thinks they're entitled to Alabama. Arkansas believes in all of its fiber that with the right coach, they could be Alabama. You can call it like Iowa does not have that delusion. They don't think they can be Ohio State. They're very comfortable being Iowa. Arkansas believes it. I mean, they got Calipari. The Tyson Chicken guy got Calipari to go to Arkansas. Like, that happened. So they're looking at this and they're going, why not us? We got Walmart money. We got Tyson Chicken money.
Jarrah.
Like, let's go. Jarrah. Good point, Reese. Yeah, they look at it like we could be Alabama.
New York Giants rookie Abdul Carter was benched for their opening series Sunday against the Packers because he fell asleep and missed a walkthrough earlier in the week. The linebacker took accountability after the game for that incident, and he says he has to accept the consequences for his actions. But then on Monday, The Athletic had similar reporting. They put that reporting on Twitter, and Carter responded to that social media post. Quote, was not sleep, actually doing recovery. Nevertheless, that's on me. When the hate don't work, they start telling lies. When the hate don't work, they start telling lies. Carter had one tackle and two pressures and 45 snaps Sunday after that discipline. Third overall pick in the 2025 draft has just a half sack in his first 11 career games. He has had multiple sacks negated by penalties. Thing or not a thing?
Do you guys remember the Seinfeld episode when George is slinging latex and he's trying to get the checks from the unemployment office and he needs them to say Vandalay Industries? And he runs into Jerry's office and he's going to the bathroom at Jerry's house in his apartment and the phone rings and I think Kramer answers like, no, you got the wrong number. And he comes out with like his pants down. He's laying on the ground and Jerry comes in and he goes, and you want to be my latex salesman? This dude wanted to wear Lawrence Taylor's jersey. 0.5 sacks. Get the hell out of here, man. You want to wear 56? No. Not it, buddy. The sleep stuff, whatever. But, like, this guy has not been the number three pick at all in any way, shape, or form.
I also feel like if you're doing recovery, wouldn't the team know about that? And they would understand that you're late for the meeting, or they would have communicated, like, hey, let's not have him doing recovery right now because we've got a meeting. Let's get it over before then. Like, I just feel like, I don't know. Just take your accountability and go. Like, you don't have to prove everyone right on social media. Don't be a keyboard cowboy like the rest of them. Like, what are we doing? Just say, yeah, it's my bad. We'll move on.
Own it.
I'll be better.
Own it. That's all you got to do. All right. Final hour of the program. Shelly time coming up at 11:30. We blitz the NFL coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Hold on to your butts. Rivalry Week is coming.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Starting on Monday, we get you ready for, you know, The Fan.
Get an ego.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. Number one, Ohio State looks to remain the top seed in the college football playoff. The third set of rankings will be released tonight at 8:30. OSU's Ryan Day is going to hold his weekly press conference today at noon, and we'll carry those comments live on The Fan when he takes the podium. Buckeyes are 31.5-point favorites this Saturday, hosting Rutgers. It'll be a big noon kick on Senior Day. On the field tonight, Ohio hosts winless UMass at 7 o'clock. Bobcats are 4-2 in MAC play, one game back of Western Michigan. The Broncos are at Eastern Illinois tonight at 7. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets beat Montreal 4-3 last night in a shootout at Nationwide. CBJ are in Winnipeg versus the Jets tonight at 8. Elvis Merzlikins gets the nod in net Tuesday. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Enjoy rates lower than the national average, plus a special rate on balance transfers with a Visa Platinum or Visa with Rewards credit card.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Tuesday. Before we get to the Blitz, one of my favorite annual traditions is Army-Navy. But then in addition to that is when the academies, when they unveil their uniforms they're going to wear for the game. So they've been doing this for about 15 years where they do like a specific special uniform every time. So Army did theirs last week and they were paying tribute to, I want to say like the 1700s was theirs, and they had the silver hats. Well, Navy dropped theirs today and they're paying homage to the 250th anniversary of the Navy. And they're in homage to that. So you get Under Armour versus Nike and they kind of do battle with these uniforms and they're both great every year. It's just a really cool tradition. I think it's awesome. And Army's dropped last week. Navy's dropped, just now in the last couple of minutes. So good job out of them. All right. Time to blitz the NFL. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present NFL Blitz.
Sponsored by Monogram Homes. Go custom. Go Monogram. Visit monogramhomes.net to start building.
I believe I had that. Bake, we'll start with you. What did you have?
I believe I had that Travion Henderson would be a difference maker for the New England Patriots. And while it took maybe a little longer than all of us thought, boy, has he made a difference the last 2 weeks. Three touchdowns in that Thursday night football win over the New York Jets. My goodness, Travion just has a different gear.
He does, yeah. It's weird it took this long for him to get in. It took like a Ramondre Stevenson injury for him to get to play.
I remember arguing with Tyvus about that because I wanted Travion and I thought Travion would be the better NFL back, and he argued for Quinshon.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, he had me, and he still might, but
yeah.
Travion so far so good. This is the first time since week five I was above 500 in picks, and I don't think I've had an easier pick this season than last night.
Yeah.
Dallas over Las Vegas. That's the easiest damn thing you could have picked.
Yeah, that one was pretty
even
easy.
For me, a dummy.
Got back by above 500 on the weekly picks as well. I think several things I had. I think the thing that I'm going to go this way because I'm not sure if I'll talk about it in another way, and we don't talk about it probably enough. I think the Seattle Seahawks are great. I think they're great. I don't think they're good. I think they're great. Sam Darnold threw four interceptions in Los Angeles against the Rams, and they still had the ball with a kick to win it. Now, it was a 61-yarder, but a kick to win it at the end. That is overcoming a lot, and that tells me a lot about what the Seattle Seahawks are all about. I think they're going nowhere this season, other than a team to be dealt with as the season goes along. Did not have it. What did you not have, Bake?
I did not have that the Denver Broncos would be 9-2 and beating the Kansas City Chiefs in week 12. Like, that is just... And it doesn't look, they don't look like a 9-2 football team, quite frankly, but somehow they are.
I did not have the Jacksonville Jaguars doing that to the LA Chargers.
No. No. And I know Bake is chomping at the bit because he hates the Chargers.
I'm taking the high road on this one. I'm going to let Justin Herbert have the week off. He's already suffered enough.
I didn't have that one either. Wow. I mean, I thought the Chargers had turned a corner, that they're going to be a team of consequence, and they just got bullied by Jacksonville. They have a lot of injuries, for sure, but that was the most stupefying result of the weekend for me as well. Not just that I got it wrong, but how badly I got it wrong. Player who impressed, Bick?
For me, it was Bryce Young of the Carolina Panthers.
People are saying he's Joe Montana.
Sorry, Bo.
I really don't know if anyone's going to beat him the rest of the year. I think he's Joe Montana. I think if I were them, I'd give him a $500 million contract right now. I don't know if they'll lose the rest of the decade, honestly. I don't know if Carolina will lose the rest of the decade.
Listen, I know there's part of you that doesn't like this, but part of you should be happy because this is who you compared our very own Julian Sayin to. And Bryce Young, 31 of 45, 448 yards and three touchdowns. They beat the Falcons. They're 6-5.
Stop it.
Oh, my goodness.
Just to give you an idea of since I doubled down with my 13-year-old, since I doubled down, they are 5-2. Yeah, 5-2 since I doubled down. But they got Niners-Rams next 2 weeks. Come on, boys. Let's go. Let's go.
Player who impressed for me, Buccaneers running back Sean Tucker. For a lot of you who don't know who that is, he started the season as Tampa's third running back. But because of injuries, last week he was the first player this season to rush for over 50 yards on the New England Patriots. It wasn't a losing effort. But then Sunday in the Buccaneers losing effort to the Bills, he had 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean Tucker, he'll get himself a nice little contract in the offseason. Do the most with the opportunity that's given. Because none of these opportunities that are given to guys that far on the depth chart are ever ideal.
No. It's Myles Garrett. He's what he is able to do week in and week out. Guys, he has 10 sacks in the last 3 games. That ties an NFL record for the most sacks in a 3-game period. He had 5 of them. I mean, he has 22 quarterback pressures and 15 sacks. They still have 7 games left. They've only played 10. I mean, he's on pace for 25, 26 sacks. It's crazy. Player who disappointed. Bake?
For me, it's Sam Darnold. I understand that the Rams are a good team, mm-hmm. and they have a good defense. 29 of 44, 279, 4 interceptions. If you just maybe don't throw one of those, maybe 2, you win the game. Mm-hmm. Come on, Sam. Got to be better than that.
Yeah, they're great, too.
There are approximately 3,975 cameras at any given point turned on in an NFL stadium. And Ja'Marr Chase, in front of the world and the good Lord, you decided to lie and say you did not spit in Jalen Ramsey's face. And then came 17 different angles of you, in fact, spitting in Jalen Ramsey's face.
Yeah.
That might be the... Jalen Carter, that's disappointing. Ja'Marr Chase, it's extra disappointing because it was a game that you had to have. Mm-hmm. And you lose your composure like that.
I've never done this before, and I don't know if I'll have to do it again, but it's Patrick Mahomes. Do you know how many games this season he has for throwing for more than 300 yards?
0.
It's not much.
Oh, one.
Many.
One. Last 3 weeks, now they did get the win against Washington, but then they lost 2 Buffalo, 2 Denver, 2 good teams, sure. 1 touchdown, 2 picks in those 2 games. He's 4 touchdowns, 4 picks in his last 3. He completed 44% of his passes against Buffalo, 64% against Denver. It's not right in Kansas City. It's just not. And we're too far. Usually this far into the season, they got it sorted. I don't think they're getting this one sorted. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week. Who do you got, Bake?
Bo, kind of like you, I can't believe I'm doing this. But it's the head coach of the team down in
Duval,
Liam Cohen.
It's a nice win.
I can say whatever I want about Justin Herbert. The Chargers are still a good football team, and they demolished them. And not only did they demolish them, they did that with no receivers.
None.
No receivers at all. I question Liam Cohen and the Jacksonville Jaguars, first-time head coach, first-time coordinators. They are right now 6-5 and sitting in the final playoff spot in the AFC. Good job out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Here, an example why Cloudflare might need to go down for a little bit longer because we just don't need articles like why Carolina Panthers coach Dave Canales is not off the hot seat yet. Are you absolutely out of your mind, Carolina Panthers on SI?
He's on Bo's crazy hot seat.
Like, what?
No, he's Vince Lombardi. Renamed the trophy.
They're 6-5 and sitting right outside a playoff spot.
Sean Payton can still coach football. They're not great offensively, but they're great defensively, and they do enough offensively to be a team of consequence. A lot of people were dubious about that hire, if it would actually work. Did he still have the fire? Oh, yeah, he does. You saw him at the end of that game. Your top 3 this week, Bake, who do you got?
I have the Philadelphia Eagles, I have the New England Patriots, and I have the Denver Broncos.
All right.
I got the Rams, Eagles, Colts.
Colts didn't play last week, right?
They're on the bye.
They were on the bye. Yeah. I went Rams, Eagles, Denver. I do think that Buffalo's better. New England's better. I think there are teams that have higher ceilings than Denver.
So weird with the Bills.
I know it. But I want to give Denver some flowers. I can't understand how Buffalo lost at Miami the way they did. They got punched in the mouth 2 weeks. I can't shake that. But I do think the Rams and the Eagles are on a little bit of a collision course. The Eagles are tricky because they're really bad offensively. I mean, Detroit had, what, 0 for 6 on fourth down, including several in the red zone? Like, dude, sometimes just kick the field goal. And
oh, not Dan Campbell.
Maybe you win the game. You kick a couple field goals, pal. Super Bowl right now. Who do you got, Big?
I think it's the same as I had last week, and I know they're not in my top three, but I'm going Philly-Buffalo.
I got Rams-Colts.
I got Ramit and Denver for this week on top.
I just don't trust Bo Nix in the playoffs.
I don't trust Daniel Jones. I don't touch Bo Nix. I mean, I just said Patrick Mahomes is most disappointing, and if he gets in, is he going to lose? I mean, I don't know. I think that's why if you're Kansas City or you're Baltimore, you're like, let's just get in and see what happens. And maybe they can, but it's getting a little crowded in the AFC for sure. The crowd in the AFC got thinned out a little bit with some of the results over the weekend, including now a lost season in Cincinnati. My God, how bad has this gotten? Reese mentioned the suspension of Ja'Marr Chase. Where do they go from here, and how do they salvage any part of this season? We will get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you.
We know you love the Buckeyes.
We know you love the Jackets.
We know you're wearing a red shirt.
I just freaked the hell out of someone. So bad.
More than a few of our patients.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Tech and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekdays starting at 6
or watch on demand.
More Bobby, less commercials.
The Fan.
You can stream the game.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Keep the umbrella handy as we have rain throughout the day today. It's going to be soggy and chilly with temperatures only getting into the mid-40s. For tonight, the rain eventually tapers off overnight with our lows down into the upper 30s. And then for Wednesday, it's more sunshine as we have mostly partly cloudy skies and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Monday starts up a pretty big week.
Gobble, gobble, and all that crap. Let's focus on what really matters. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And it's your Uncle Bo here, ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Siada Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but all over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the United States. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Siada Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick from more than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy keeps building. Siada Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming right here to Columbus. So come experience the action, the rewards, and the unforgettable moments waiting for you at Eldorado Siada Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966. Visit caesars.com/Siada Downs for details. I have this, this isn't unique. I think anybody who is a parent has a pretty strict rule when it comes to this. Just tell the truth. Own it. When you lie, it gets worse and worse and worse as it starts to be uncovered. And we talked about this yesterday. Reese just talked about it in the Blitz. Ja'Marr Chase spit on Jalen Ramsey. Was he provoked? Probably. This is what Jalen Ramsey does, right? But once you do that, you've become the bad guy. and then there has to be retribution on you from the league. Wasn't it Jalen Carter who did this maybe in the opener?
Yeah.
Yeah. And as we said, there are 200 cameras at every NFL game. There's probably not that many, but every single blade of grass is covered at an NFL game. If you did it, you're going to get got. And Ja'Marr Chase did it, and he got. And now he's suspended for a game without pay for spitting on Ramsey in the loss on Sunday. Chase is appealing the suspension, a source told Schefter. Now, the appeal will be heard and ruled upon by either Derek Brooks, Ramon Foster, or Jordy Nelson, the hearing officers jointly appointed by the NFL and the NFLPA, all former players, of course. If the suspension is upheld, he'll miss the team's upcoming game against New England on the 12th. The incident occurred, of course, on Sunday. The suspension would cost Chase his weekly paycheck of $448,000, along with a $58,000 per game active bonus he would be forfeiting. So over $500,000 would come out of Ja'Marr Chase's pocket if he is indeed suspended for the game. I see no scenario how he'll win the suspension or the appeal at all. For him, there is a little bit of there is some statistical stuff that could come into play here. Ja'Marr Chase, as it stands right now, is third. He's definitely not catching Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He's third in the NFL in receiving yards at 861 to JSN's 1146. He does lead the league in receptions with 79. And that's with 79 going into this one. So he's got 861, 79 for 861. JSN leads with 1146. Chase just 5 touchdowns. The leader in that looks to be Amon St. Brown at 8. So in terms of repeating as a triple crown, that's going to go by the wayside with this suspension as well. Not like he could have accomplished it anyway. In the middle of all of this is Zach Taylor, who is overseeing nothing short of unmitigated disaster this year in Cincinnati. Some of it's not his fault. He cannot help that Joe Burrow got hurt. But also, Joe Burrow was not going to be a Band-Aid on all that ails them. Let's hear from Zach first on Ja'Marr Chase and the spitting incident.
I've always been impressed with how Jamar's handled himself, because he is in a lot of these situations where he's got a target as a top player. He gets a lot of respect that way, and so guys try to do a lot of things to get his attention and get him off his game, and I've always thought it was unbelievable how he's handled himself in some really high-pressure emotional decisions. Obviously, what happened is crossing the line. We can't have that, and I know he'll own up to that. But beyond that, I've always sat up here and praised Ja'Marr, because he's one of the best leaders we've got. The way he goes about everything, he plays with a ton of emotion. He plays with a ton of leadership. Our guys respond to that. And I've always appreciated how he's handled himself.
I don't think he is owning up to it, though.
Yeah, will he?
So I don't know if he has done that or not. Do you even play Joe Burrow in this season?
If he wants to. I think you do what you can to it. Just, I don't even know. Because he sees the results. He sees how the defense is. He sees all of this. And a logical, sane person would say, no, I want no part of that. Let's try it again next year. But I don't know if Joe is going to be thinking about that, or if he just wants to get back on the field and play.
I think he wants to play, right? The question is there anybody down there with enough power or juice to say no?
There isn't. And if he wants to play, I think you let him. Now, if there is no way he can re-injure himself. Like, if he's fully healthy. Now, you don't rush him back. I don't think he plays Thanksgiving, right?
No way.
Because he's not ready. He's not ready. But if there's a chance, and maybe after this stretch of games, maybe not against these teams that they've got coming up here the next 3 weeks, but the schedule down the stretch, I believe the last three, is pretty manageable.
I mean, it's a Sunday night game.
So they've got Patriots this week, at Ravens on Thanksgiving, at Thursday. Bills, Ravens at home, at Dolphins, and then Cardinals Browns.
So maybe those last three.
Right, but big picture, do you think Bengals fans even want that? Because you don't want a 3-game winning streak at the end. What good does that do you?
It'd be terrible for their draft prospects.
I'm with you guys. I would not. But like you said, who down there is stopping him?
Mike Brown,
maybe. He does what he wants.
I would say that that's probably true.
Hope he's got a good analogy ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what pie that would be. Let's hear from Zach too. One thing that he was quite, because obviously they had all the expectations in the world. He was asked if the losing becomes who they are. Here's his answer to that.
That's a bad place to be, and unfortunately, that's we've done a lot of that. But we can't numb ourselves to that. You still got to feel the pain when you walk off the field and the mistakes that you make and the opportunities that you missed. It's still got to feed you moving forward. But we also can't forget what winning does for us. Just one win can change the whole trajectory of your season. And why not this week? We're going to put everything we got into it. Again, I believe in everybody we got, and we're going to fight to find this win this week.
All right. Here was Zach's update on Joe Burrow as well.
He did 7-on-7 last week, came out of the week feeling good. And so then this week, the plan will be, let's get to Wednesday and see if we can work in some 11-on-11 and go from there. So I think before we ever do that, there's no reason to have a discussion on what the timeline is beyond that, because there's just steps we got to follow. 7-on-7, great, did individual. And now we continue with the rehab phase next week, and that's 11-on-11. That's getting bodies around him, seeing how he feels, seeing how he moves. And so until we've done any of that, there's no reason for me to speculate on where it's going to be.
Guys, he's playing. And I think he's going to play Thanksgiving based on that.
That Thursday night game against the Ravens.
Yep.
It's insane that he's going to do it. It's insane. It's insane for him to go do this.
I agree with you. I think sometimes those of us that talk about it I'm with you. I want to make that abundantly clear. I would not put him on the field at all. I would say, I'll see you in 2026 and we'll deal with it then. And we're going to go 3-14 and we're going to pick fifth in the draft. And maybe we get Caleb Downs and it solves our safety issue for the next decade. Maybe that's what I would do if I was in charge of it. That's how I would handle it. But I think the disconnect sometimes that we have is that, especially in football, they're professionals. This is their job. And they want to do their job.
Yeah.
They want to do their job. And I'm sure for Burrow, who is now, 29? I'm sure there's a little bit of football mortality that's creeping up.
Has to be.
Like, I've been injured a lot. How many more seasons do I have? Like, people would say, oh, he's going to play till he's 40. I don't know. I mean, how many seasons has he gotten through healthy in his career?
Is it 3 full seasons?
I don't know if he's ever had like a full off-season and season that's healthy.
Played all 16 games in a season.
Here, I'll pull it up. I got it right here. So he's played 16 or 17 three times. He did it the year they went to the Super Bowl when he threw for 46, 11, 34, and 14. He followed it up the next year, 44, 75, 35, and 12. He played 10 games his rookie year, 10 games in 23. 2024, he played 17. Last year, boy, they blew it. I mean, he was 70% completions, 49, 18, 43, and 9, and they didn't make the postseason. He would have won the MVP. He'd have been the MVP in a league.
Romo's fault.
What's crazy is that they even got off to a little bit of a slow start. Offense
to New England.
I'm not just talking about the team. I'm talking about him himself. Yes, he got off to a little slow start as recovering from injury.
Yeah. I hate to even put this in the atmosphere, but it feels to me like he's Marino. That you get that Super Bowl appearance early and you keep trying to put things around him, and it sucks because I love him and I'd love nothing more than the ultimate success for him.
He wants to play Thursday night. You're throwing him out there.
I think he's going to play. Yep. He turns 29 on December 10th. That's where he is. So if this season will be in 6 NFL seasons, he's made it through half of them healthy. And that's the reality of where he is. But the tone and everything down there tells me that he's going to play. And I think by the sounds of that Zach soundbite right there, my hunch is it could be Thanksgiving night against the Ravens. The Jackets back out it. They salvaged a win last night after it almost all came crashing down in the third period. They're in Winnipeg tonight, so we'll have a little Shelley time in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your
favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The Gloves. Shelly time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards. Experience collecting in a whole new way.
All right. So I'm watching the game last night, and this gets sent to me by Ryan on social, and it's a clip that aired on the Sports on Prime Canada broadcast of the game that included the information that Sidney Crosby's first autograph was yours? How have I not heard this story?
What a lucky kid. Yeah, I was playing junior hockey in Halifax for the Halifax Mooseheads. And I was from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, 4 hours south of Halifax. Coming up in a suburb of Halifax, about probably 20 minutes from our rink. So he watched a lot of games, watched training camp, hung out at the rink for hours. I didn't know who he was. I mean, I would not remember that. Mm-hmm. He was like 7 years old, but we had a conversation with him a couple weeks ago when he was in Toronto, and I asked him, I said, was it true that you got my autograph? Like, he goes, yeah. And he told me the story about getting our team autograph, and I was the first one he got. Pretty cool.
That's unbelievable. That's such a cool story. The picture that you, God, you're an Adonis too. How handsome. I mean, unbelievable. Young Shelly time.
I know. It used to be really something.
Really were. Just an electric look on you. When did you become aware of the story?
You know what? I was playing.
I think we lost Jode. International waters.
We'll get him back.
All right. So, this was last night on this. This was made I became known of it last night, thanks to Ryan Ramsey on the X, and they told the story on Sports on Prime Canada, and they have a picture of young Sid, and they have a picture of Jode when he's with the moose head there, and they told this story. It's just such a cool story. And the thing that's so cool, one of the things that's my favorite things about hockey is they identify these guys so young. So, Jode, we lost you there, I think, over international waters. Yeah. But when did you become aware of the story?
Yeah, I was in a pregame skate, and the Penguins were kind of watching, milling around, and the radio guy, Phil Bork, the old 2-9er, they call him in Pittsburgh, called me over, and he told me the story. I was like, wow, that's really cool. Thanks for sharing it. And that was a long time ago, and I just kind of remembered it and asked him 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, small world, the hockey world, and imagine, like, the kids now growing up in Columbus, you know, who knows who's next.
Right.
But there's kids in Columbus who will get a chance to live out a dream too, you know, with what's going on with the growth of hockey in the area.
There's no doubt. Last one on this. When was Sid, because you're from that area, you played in that area from that area. When was Sid, did people realize that he was special?
I think it was like 12 years old. You know, you heard about a kid that was doing great things in minor hockey, saw the articles, maybe even before that, maybe when he was 10 years old.
God.
You know what I mean? Like, it was identified early. And then he went to Rimouski when I had already left. I was gone to play pro, but he went to play junior hockey up in northern Quebec.
It's just a remarkable thing how they can identify them so young.
Well, he was dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, it was domination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone has, you know, there's kids all over that are really good at, you know, the craft. But then there's people, and look at him now, even like he stands out among the best. Like these kids they stood out amongst the best for forever.
Yeah, they really do. Look, good news, bad news. Good news, you get the points and you get the win. And it was fun, and you get a shootout win. And Jet Greaves in the overtime period last night was just on his head. Marchie was unbelievable again. But the other side of that is you gave it all up in the third. How do you balance the positives of getting the result? And then also, boy, the ice got tilted in the wrong direction in the third in a big way. And how do you prevent that from happening?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you take the win and move on. You know, then you can work on that as the season goes on. You learn from those moments, but you find a way to win. I think that's the most important thing. And Jack Greaves made some massive saves, including in overtime. He made one in overtime. It was just all world save. And he made key moments. He stopped the puck and got the whistle at key moments, controlled the D zone as well as he could. Yeah, you don't want to see the team back off, right? But you do have to credit Montreal that they got some speed. They got some things going. They were getting pucks back after opportunities and jumping plays, and they took higher risks. When teams are down, you're going to see them take higher risks. And for the Blue Jackets, they played like a penalty kill for a lot of that third period, was make sure you get the puck out, make sure you get it in. We got a 2-goal lead. So I'm not overly concerned about it. The schedule is the schedule. You know, I was just sitting here talking to the media members of the Winnipeg Jets, and everywhere I go, everyone's talking about the schedule. You know, you look at this one. We just got back from Western Canada, and we're back in Western Canada on a back-to-back. So that was a must-win. And I think the first game back, you know, they did a good job against the Oilers. Against the Rangers, they looked tired to start, but they were in the game. I think that's a good sign. You know, it's not a team that they find a way to bring their B game. If it's a B game night, they play and get through it and figure out that they can get a point or two. That's a good sign for this team early, you know, because it's the teams that are collecting losses with no points right now that are going to be falling out of it if they can't find ways to just generate those wins.
Oh, no doubt. I would sign up for this top line for a long time, buddy. This looks to be pretty special.
Yeah, highly underpaid right now is what you're saying. I mean, Fantilli is in, you know, there's no talks, but there's talks. He can be signed up.
Yep.
And Marchenko, to me, looks like he wants to be the next superstar in the National Hockey League.
I agree.
You know? He's 26 years old, and he's got the pedigree and the skill, but he's also now got the attitude and the mindset to be like, his window of 10 years is now, and this could be exciting. So, yeah, it's an electric top line. And put them with Zach Werenski. That's the other thing that that you look at, right? Like, you look at teams that have that defenseman and the luxury of playing on the ice with Zach. That's another rocket on the line as well when they're out there together.
It's funny you said that about Marchie, because I talked about it off the top of the show. There is a charisma to him this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so great last year, but it's like the idea that he came back like wanting more. There's a little bit of a cat ate the canary with him. Like, it's almost like he's got it all figured out. Like, you can't take your eyes off him.
No. He is fun to watch. He's got the hair flowing. He's got the moves.
86.
You know, he's worked at it in the off season. Works at it every day. And his smile and his appreciation he thanks all of us as he walks out of the room. We haven't even talked to him. He just walks by and says, thank you. Like, he's just, it's authentic. Mm-hmm. It's infectious. You know, that's an important. And then to have Voronkov, who barely speaks English, but gets a chuckle and the best out of everyone in his own way. That's a good combination, Matt.
Yeah, really is. Sure. I saw this comment. Porty had it. So Elvis tonight, I guess Porty was talking last night. He was sick when he played in Vancouver, sick when he backed up Greaves in Edmonton and Seattle. And then I guess he was made aware by the media last night that he's starting tonight. And he said, am I awesome? What do you make of that situation?
You know, it's not really a team concept comment, you know, I don't know. It kind of puts it out there that he's not happy in a way, I would guess, just in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And why would he be? He wants to be the number one goalie. He stated that a few years ago, and now he's lost that position because he was sick and someone else has been collecting points, and that's Jack Greaves. Jack Greaves has collected points, I think, in every game he started. Mm-hmm. And how about that? Like, I think three or four of the games have gone to a shootout. Like, this guy's played a lot of hockey here, including a back-to-back in the last week. So, yeah, if he gets a break tonight, that's wonderful. But the opportunity came, and he grabbed it. So, you know, that's where he's at right now. It's okay if he's not happy. He's got to come in tonight and do his job and match what Jed has done. And that would be a great thing for the team, because this is going to be a tough. He's the most rested guy in the lineup tonight. He'll be the busiest. and everyone's going to put their best effort. The team got here at 2:30 last night to the hotel. 1:30 local, sorry, because we gained an hour. Mm-hmm. They're at the rink today. There's a stretch here. It's going to happen in about 20 minutes, and then they're going to get prepared for this. This is probably the toughest back-to-back of the year.
How long's the flight, even on Blue Jacket Air?
2 hours and 30 minutes. I was kind of surprised by that. Time enough to get a little meal, and I sit next to Bob McGilligan, so just listen to him talk for an hour and a half, which is amazing to me because he does the radio by himself. But it was...
Made the time
until
go
quick.
Until
he falls asleep. He talks. So I'm like, yeah. It was a good, it was a quick flight. 2.5 hours. I was kind of surprised.
All right, buddy. Look forward to the call as always, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks for your time, pal.
All right, Paul. Thanks, buddy.
All right, a little bit of Shelly time for you. Jackets and Winnipeg Jets tonight at 8 o'clock, so fan pregame starts at 7:30. Three thing on a Tuesday, coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day brought to you by Safe Flat Auto Glass. After digesting the film following the UCLA game, did you see some things from the rushing game that you like with them taking their development?
Yeah. There was a lot of things to take off the film. I thought the guys played hard, finished. Some of the guys up front really were finishing downfield, and in particular, you know, the left side of the line, and Carson played really good. You know, Luke and Austin. That the running backs took another step, just, you know, getting to the second level and then making some guys miss. Ran physical. So I thought all of that was positive. Again, nothing's perfect, but we were able to get some explosive runs in there, and that was everybody involved with it. And we know that there's, you know, going to be more resistance here coming up. So, you know, we got to make sure we're looking at it from the right lens, but there was growth there.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Coach, when you talk about the running game, is there something that us lay people maybe wouldn't necessarily see as far as running backs and offensive linemen being in concert with one another?
Yeah, well, we call it phase. You know, for instance, when, you know, let's just say we're running a gap scheme where there's a puller, you know, that running back has to be in the right phase. The second puller has to be in phase with the first puller. And, you know, all of that comes into play just based on how those runs fit and how they enter the blocks. And then obviously the read and the vision of it all. A lot of times in zone schemes, it's the running back's responsibility to press their landmark, really draw the linebackers towards the double teams, and then either, you know, hit it front side or find himself winding back. And that's all part of how this works. And you know, they all have to understand, you know, based on where the back is, how that shakes. And we call it the string. The string is really, you know, the bolt where the ball is in comparison to where my man is and how I'm blocking. And, you know, if a back is offset, or, you know, we're under center, or maybe he's in the pistol, all those things are, you know, taken into consideration so that you have the right leverage on your block. When we talk about leverage, we're talking about, like, you know, an advantage on the play. So, you know, if I'm on the outside shoulder, my leverage is on the outside. And, you know, you're always fighting this game of leverage when you're talking about the run game.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Around here, it's all or nothing. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone else, like the best-selling Toyota Camry. Now through December 1st, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Camrys, or lease a new 26 Camry LE for $269 a month for 39 months with $3,699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra, call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do you have on the poll today?
The Daily Fan poll asks, where will Lane Kiffin be coaching next season? 35% say Ole Miss, 35% say Florida, and 25%, I'm doing that math wrong, but LSU is the other option.
Right. Very good. Time for three things on a Tuesday. Hit it, guys.
One, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Buckeye Lake Marina, Central Ohio's largest selection of new and pre-owned boats. Find your next dream boat at BuckeyeLakeMarina.com.
Number one for me, an incredible story out of Northeast Ohio in regard to Bernie Kosar, who we talked about this last week when we first saw that it was going pretty south pretty quick for Bernie. And I think it was getting pretty dire. And on Sunday, he was made aware that he would be getting a liver transplant. On Monday, he got that liver transplant. It was a 21-year-old kid who was a lifelong Browns fan who had some terminal conditions, and it was his liver that was transplanted into Bernie. Bernie put a video up about an hour ago saying that so far, so good. Obviously, a long way out of the woods, but just an incredible story of the power of organ donation and what it can do. And this is, I'm just really, it's mixed, right? Because you have the incredible tragedy of someone who lost their life well too soon, but also the saving that it did in the process. And it's, I think it was really dire for Bernie, and I think it got really close, and God willing, he's able to, this all goes really well, and he's able to live the life, a long life. And it was somebody else who had that mentality to donate to make it all possible. So just wanted to give that update.
Yeah, it was really cool when Twitter came back online this morning. One of the first things I saw was a video of Bernie post-surgery. I mean, as healthy as humanly possible, still with great energy. So it was an incredible thing to see. Just real quick, I'm late to the Big Boss nickname for Dmitry Voronkov, and I guess that's what he calls himself, and that's hysterical. And I'm glad it stuck.
Is it self-appointed?
I don't know if that's what he calls himself. I just know in that one interview at the Stadium Series last year, he said, I'm Big Boss. But I think that was given to him. I don't know. That's pretty good.
Feels like it's his.
First thing for me, Tuesdays with DeBerry today gave me a lot of insight into Dom, and he is obviously crazy. And now I understand why every Friday night when we're in here for high school football overtime, he's always like, hey, Lee, hey, Guru, you want to wrestle? Dom, why do you want to wrestle that man? His forearms are as big as our thighs. Like, you're not winning against that guy. Like, what is he, just a glutton for punishment?
He would walk around 10 TV and he would go to various folks in the control room and he would go, hey, hey, you want to monk me? Like, that's, he loves tomfoolery. He just loves it. Speaking of tomfoolery, number two for me, last night we're at the middle school, and I'm practicing with Bootsy, and NBC's wrapping up his eighth grade practice, and one of his buddies got hurt, and I wanted to go give my well wishes to one of his buddies who got hurt. And I walk in the locker room, and the lights are off, and these idiots are like throwing balls at each other, like just doing stupid crap that eighth grade boys do. And as I open the door, the first kid I see is NBC. And I don't know exactly what it's like for a human being to see an actual ghost, but I can tell you I know what it looks like now. And all he said to me was, "Dad, please." So I didn't. I didn't embarrass him. I handled it at home when we got home. No phone privileges for a while. And I don't even know if he was the main instigator, but he was in a room, and there's a lesson to be learned about when you're in a room with hijinks, you get the hijinks on you as well. But yeah, the look on his face was pretty priceless.
Second thing for me, there's Maction tonight. Ohio hosts Massachusetts. Traditional Mac power, Massachusetts, at 7 o'clock. And here's how screwy of a season it's been for the Bobcats. We're at 0-10. I'm still nervous whether or not Ohio can beat the Minutemen. 0-6 in conference play, Massachusetts is. And I'm still
on
nervous.
On time for that, right? This late in the year?
Second thing for me, I know it's really hard when all of these people and these conferences and these leagues go into making their schedules for the year. We have Ohio State hockey over on the Fan too sometimes. So I was looking at the Ohio State hockey schedule just to see what was coming up. And I noticed that Ohio State is at Ann Arbor this weekend, this Friday and Saturday. And then next weekend, they'll be out in Tempe to take on Arizona State. Now, I don't know all the logistics that went into this, but sure seems like having Ohio State in Ann Arbor for a hockey series Friday night and Saturday around the game, that sure seems like it would have been a win to me.
Well, and I know I'm not supposed to say nice things about that team up north, but Yost is pretty amazing as a venue.
They play good hockey up there.
Yeah, it's an awesome venue. Number three for me, I absolutely love that Jody Shelley, Sidney Crosby story. That is such a crazy story that his first autograph was Jody's playing juniors. And then the other part of it that's so cool is how these hockey folks can identify these kids so damn young, and they never miss. If they tell you a kid is great at 10, they are. There is something in their scouting. I don't know if it's Bob McKenzie's DNA all over. I don't know what it is, but they hit them. When they identify them, they are studs, all of them.
If Cloudflare is not down, I'll post the video that was sent to Bo at 971BFS so you can see a very young Jody Shelley. It's an incredible sight. I found out yesterday as I was trying to get the leaves raked in the yard. I got about three quarters of the way because I gave myself an hour, and it's going to be raining for the next week, that I really enjoy just being out there raking leaves. Because my neighbor came out and she offered, they have a leaf blower. And I was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm good just doing the manual labor.
Reese,
because I'm crazy.
Two things to that. One, that means you're getting old. And two, I'm weird like that with shoveling snow. Like, there's just something about it that's like therapeutic to me. I don't
peaceful,
know.
Peaceful, yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't identify with either of those things.
The final thing for me, Ryan Day press conference coming up next. Then afterwards, Rothman and Ice will break it all down with Tyvus Powell at 1:30, Austin Ward at 2:30.
We're back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Starting Monday, it's rivalry week. We call it that because the Buckeyes play a very annoying team from Michigan. Clever.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan.
Hey, folks.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call